Well, today being Pearl Harbor Day, December the 7th, 2025, we want to finish this lesson out that we started last week. It's entitled, Response Requires Recognition. Let's look at the lesson today. I want you to look at this. We began this lesson last Sunday in the book of John, chapter number 1. Now, I'm trying to get through this first chapter, and it is a difficult thing to get through just the first chapter. But we started last week with how that we as born-again believers, we really need to get a hold of this truth about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing in whom we have placed our faith and trust. Betty was talking about this morning. She's been through different religions and all kinds of things. But you know what? The Word of God gives us the answer to all of it. And Jesus is the reason for what we have today as Christianity. And you know what? John wrote, again, I want you to turn over to John chapter 20. As I begin the lesson today, I want you to look at John chapter number 20. And I want you to look again at verses 30 and 31. And again, this is where John gave the reason for writing what he wrote. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." I want you to see today, it is our believing the message of the gospel. We believe it and we receive it in our hearts. Listen, you can be baptized, pasteurized, homogenized, and everything else that you can have done in your life. You can join every church, religious denomination that you could ever think of joining. But there's still only one way to heaven. And Jesus points us to that way. As a matter of fact, turn back to John chapter 14, verse number 5 and 6. I want you to see this morning. John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we knew not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" We don't know, Lord, where you're going. We don't know about this place that you're talking about, heaven. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said there in verse number 6, "I am the way." Notice that. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you know what? When Jesus gave that message, some received it. Some received it with joy. Some mocked and rejected it. And they turned it aside. And we read about that. John chapter 1. Go back now to John chapter number 1. I'm just giving you some review stuff here this morning before we get back into the lesson. But in John chapter number 1, I want you to look here, beginning here in verse number 10. John is writing, and he's talking about Jesus, and he said, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." You see, folks, that's where our lost world is today. They don't know him. They don't know. Listen, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to use his name in vain. Amen? And have you noticed here that the devil never uses his name in vain? Have you noticed that? The devil always uses the one he hates, the name of Christ. That's the name that's used in vain. And so the Bible said here, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own creation. He came unto his own. And his own, what did they do? They received him not. They rejected him. They turned him away. But look at this. I love this. Verse 12. But, But as many as received him. That was me on Friday afternoon, March the 28th, 1975. As a 15 and a half year old young man, I bowed on my knees and I accepted him. I received him into my heart. I placed my faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the risen, living Savior. Amen? Amen. The Bible said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. That word power means the authority, the right to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now this is talking about the second birth. All right? Spiritual birth. You can look at me and tell I've had a physical birth. All right? I weighed this morning 202 pounds. 202.1. All right? 202.1. I'm going to lose that 0.1 here soon. All right? I got to quit eating these hot tamales and these cinnamon things, but all 202 pounds. I had a physical birth, all right? But you know what? I've had another birth that's made all the difference in the world, amen? And that was the spiritual birth. When I received Christ as my own personal Savior, I was birthed into the family of God as one of His dear children, amen? And the Bible said here, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen? And you know what? If you've accepted Christ Jesus as your own personal Savior, you've had that same birth. And you know what? You've been born not of the will of man, not of the flesh, not of the blood, the bloodline that you've got, but you've been born of God. And that deserves a response to people when they come to us and say, hey, what makes you so different? What makes you so different? John wrote here about how that he was not that son of God. People thought he was living so close to God and he was preaching so powerfully. They thought he was the promised one. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought that he was that prophet that was spoken of back in the Old Testament scriptures. Well, John the Baptist, he said, no, I'm not any of those. I'm not any of those things. He said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord. He said, I'm just a messenger. All I'm doing is just pointing folks to the Savior. And we covered that last week, how he talked about who he was and what he had come to do. Now, today, I want us to look here at point number two in our lesson. I want us to look at the response of John's disciples. We've seen John's response, but I want you to see the response of those that he had been preaching to. Now, you know, there are lots of folks today that preach a gospel, and they are looking for followers of men to follow them and not the Savior. Listen, our job today is to point you to Jesus. We point them to Jesus. Listen, I can't save. Man, I wish there was some way that I could. Man, I'd go out and I'd take my little wand and I'd just go boop, 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 and I'd save everybody I came in contact with. But you know what? I can't do that. All I can do is point them to the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world. The one that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's who I've got to point folks to. And that's who you point folks to in your life, your living, your conversation, your manner of living from day to day. And listen, that's why it's important that we choose to live for Christ in all that we do and we say. Listen, we're not trying to be better than anybody else because we're not. I'm just a lost sinner. I was lost in my sin. I was undone. I was undeserving of anything that God had. But God showed mercy. And you know what? When He showed mercy, I was willing to accept His payment for my sin. And that's what made all the difference. That's what made the difference in your life today. So I want you to understand, listen, there's nothing in self that makes the difference. It's only what Christ has done. and John's disciples here. I want you to see this. We're going to begin down in verse number 35, all right? Verse 35. And I want you to see this today, where John's former disciples now choose to follow Jesus instead of John. Now, John is there. He's the last Old Testament prophet. He's pointing folks to the Messiah that's going to come. And he's telling them, there's one coming whose shoes latches. I'm unworthy to unloose. He's going to baptize you with fire. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's what he's telling them. Now, I want you to look at verses 35 and 36. John chapter 1. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John pointed those folks that were following him, he pointed them to the one that he had been speaking about. And in these two verses, I want you to see how John the Baptist, he knew his place. You know, there's a lot of folks today that name the name of Christ that don't know their place. They think that they're in charge. They think that they're the ones that do all the miracles and all these other things. Listen, no, that's not it. Listen, if you go back here in this first chapter, the Bible talks about John the Apostle is writing about John the Baptist. And he's talking about how that John the Baptist knew his place. And he said that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, the Lord Jesus. He was sent to bear witness of him. He not only knew his place, but he knew his position. And his position was simply as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Hey, you know what? That is my position today, to point folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your position. You have a place, all right? You have a place, you have a position, and listen, you and I both have a purpose, even as John did. Now listen to this. Look at what he said. That purpose was to point all men to Jesus. And what did he do here in verse number 36? When those two disciples were following him, John saw Jesus walking through, and he pointed him. He said, "Hey guys, look over here. Behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. That's the one I'm talking about. I think about John Hammond. Do you hear it? Do you see it? Do you see it today, all right?" That's what he always says. And I can imagine old John the Baptist. He's there. He said, "Do you see him? Listen, he's coming. This is he who I told you about. This is the Lamb of God. And I want you to see him, follow him." And notice here, in verse 37, the response of the first two disciples of John the Baptist to follow Christ. Look at what verse 37 said. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Amen. Do you remember when you started following Jesus? Do you remember that? Man, when I got saved, God gave me a dose of the can't help it. And I just couldn't help but want to tell somebody what Christ had done for me and all that he's done. And I think when these men heard Jesus, John the Baptist could have easily said, you know, hey, he could have had his own following. He could have said, man, I've been preaching out here in the wilderness all this time. You need to follow me and listen to me and do this and do that. But he pointed them to Jesus. And he said, now you follow him. You follow him. That word followed there, it denotes the action of someone redirecting their whole life in obedience to Jesus. You know what? That's what each of us need to do today. We need to direct our lives into following Jesus, into complete obedience, doing what he said do. And that's what these disciples did. Now, I want you to notice here in verses 40 through 42, we see Andrew bringing his own brother to Jesus. You see, Andrew got excited about this thing. And I want you to notice here, I'm going to read here, verse number 37 through 39, and then we'll go into verse 40. But the Bible said, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, just imagine this in your mind. I have a great imagination. I have a little child's imagination. I can imagine anything. But I see in my mind these men following after Christ, and Jesus looking back at them like, what are you guys following me for? Why are you following me? Jesus turned, and he saw him following me, and said unto him, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto him, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone, a little pebble, a small rock. Hello? Well, I thought somebody brought Precious in here, huh? She done changed her voice, amen. I heard that dog preaching, huh? That dog preaching, that dog barking, amen. Oh, my. Amen, George. Sick him, buddy. Sick him. Amen. But you know what the great thing about this passage is? When Andrew started following Jesus, he got a dose of the can't help it too. And he said, man, I got to tell my brother. I got to tell my family. And you know what? One of the greatest things we've seen in the Soul Winners Club training ministry is this. That when you learn how to take the Word of God and you see, first of all, what Christ did for you, and you begin to read in here that God wants to save anybody and everybody. The first ones that somebody wants to see saved are members of their family, their loved ones. I was talking to my grandson Friday night. Spent close to 2 hours, I guess, on the phone with him, just talking. He just wanted to talk, and he was asking me about when I got saved and all this stuff. And I was trying to encourage him. And I told him how that I prayed for him ever since he was a little baby, that God would not only save him, but enable him to do something for God. Put a desire in his heart to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord with all of his heart. You know what, folks? That's what we ought to want and desire for those that we love, those in our family. We ought to want them to see the Lord in us, and we want them to see Christ Jesus as the Savior. And we want to share that message with them from the Bible. The Bible said here in verse 41 and 42, he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now notice here how that when Peter came to Jesus, Jesus gave him a new name. Did you know that when you got saved, the Lord gave you a new name? You're a child of God now, amen? You're not a child of the devil anymore. Man, I served that taskmaster too long, 15 and a half years. But now I got a new name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, amen? The Bible said here, Jesus gave him a new name. He said, you're going to be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. And that signified that Jesus saw something in Peter that would never be forgotten, and it would forever change Peter's life. You know what? Jesus is the rock that we stand upon today. He is that firm foundation And all we are at best is just a little stone, just a little rock, just a now a chip off the old block. Amen. And listen to me. God wants to make something out of us. He starts out by giving us a new name. Jesus saw in Peter a plan. He had a plan for Peter. You know what he had? He had a purpose for Peter's life. God's got a purpose for your life today, folks. He's got a purpose for my life today. He had a potential for the future. Now you think about this. If in all of your life, you only get to lead one person to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, only one, you have been able to help make an eternal difference for one person. Eternal difference. Now, listen, that is something to consider today. And you know what? If God can use you to lead one person to Christ, guess what? He can use you to lead a second person and a third person. And pretty soon, he gives you a dose of the can't help it, just like he gave to Andrew. And you got to start telling everybody. You just got to tell everybody what Christ has done for you. Jesus saw potential in the life of Peter for the future. But then you know what he saw in Peter? He saw a preacher. A preacher of the gospel. Now, I've told you this story many times. My plans were to join the Air Force. I wanted two things in life. I wanted to fly and I wanted to be a surgeon. That was my goal in life. I wanted to fly and I wanted to be a surgeon. I had saved up enough money. I was working on getting my pilot's license. And when I met Lisa, things changed. Things changed. And you know what? I took that money. I'd saved up $2,000 to finish getting my pilot's license. And I took that money and used it to get married instead. All right. And now she keeps me grounded. All right. But you know what? I'm thankful for that today. Amen. But you know what? Listen, I had a plan. I said, man, this is what I'm going to do. And God said, no, no, no. I've got a plan. I got a purpose. I've got a potential for you. And I'm going to use you to be a preacher. And I remember praying and telling God, Lord God, there's no money in preaching. I want something. I'm going to be rich. I won't need anything. Because I grew up in my family. We didn't have money. And everything was always fussing about no money. Didn't have this. Didn't have that. And always fussing about that stuff. And I said, I got a plan. I'm going to fix all that. But you know what the Word of God said? The just shall live by faith. And you know what? I remember when I left that job, and I was vice president of operations at this company, and my boss, the president, sat down in front of my desk, and he sat down. He told me, he said, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. He said, you are going to be living from hand to mouth. And every day, every morning, he'd come and sit in my office and tell me this stuff every morning. And man, I was getting discouraged. And one day I thought about it. And I looked at him. I said, you know what? You're exactly right. I am going to be living from hand to mouth. But it's from God's hand to my mouth. And his hand's a whole lot bigger than mine. And you know what? David said this in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. I've been young. And now I'm old, Brother Mike. All right. Yet, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. And God takes care of his own. He takes care of us, folks. He blesses and he supplies. God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, look at old Peter, old fisherman by trade, out there just fussing and cussing and carrying on. Like an old fisherman would do. And he said, but you know what? I got a plan for that guy. I've got a purpose for his life. I see potential in his life. I'm going to make him to be a preacher of the gospel. And that's exactly what God did with Peter. And you know what? God can take anything. Listen, if he can take a handful of dirt and make a world, make a man. Listen. If God can do all that, God can do miracles in your life and in mine. Why? Because he sees things that you and I don't see. And we're going to have to be the ones that respond to him and to his calling. We've got to respond in some way. Now, we can either reject that calling or we can accept it. And I'm so glad I accepted that calling. Amen. I'm so thankful for that today. I want you to see this. We also see the response of Philip and of Nathanael to the Lord Jesus in verses 43 and 44. In verse 43 and 44, we see Jesus' call to Philip. I want you to look at this. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, here we see Jesus called upon Philip to follow him. And thereby, he redirected his whole life in obedience to him. So, know here too that Philip also responded positively. He didn't reject the call. He didn't say, well, let me pray on it, Lord. Let me pray about it. No. Immediately, he followed the Lord Jesus. And folks, you know what? We miss many of a blessing when we fail to immediately obey the calling of God in our lives. I think about so many times how many people maybe could I have led to Christ had I only gotten saved earlier and been willing to accept God's call in my heart and my life to be the preacher that he wanted me to be. But you know what? I thank God for everyone that I've had the opportunity to lead to Christ. And every message. Today I'll be preaching over again at Atlee Hill over here this afternoon. And man, I look forward to going over there and preaching the gospel. Man, it's a blessing. Now, I want you to look at verses 44 and 45. I'm sorry, 45 and 46. Now, Philip, in turn, Jesus calls Philip. And what's Philip do? He calls Nathanael. Now look at this. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Old Philip said unto him, come and see. When you go out and you give out flyers and you give out gospel tracts and you invite folks to come to church. I had a little couple sat beside us yesterday. Had a little newborn baby. It was 4.5 months old. And we were there at Bulger's. We took Sophia to Bulger's yesterday. She'd never been to Bulger's to eat. And she got a cheeseburger, a Bulger's burger with cheese on it. And she said, oh, I can only eat half of this. You know how it is with 15-year-old girls and their figures. And she ordered a big thing of fries. Oh, I can only eat half of this. And we said, well, we're going to get dessert. And I got pecan pie. My wife got apple crumb or something. It was good. And she said, well, I would like some ice cream. I said, well, get what you want. And she got cookies and cream ice cream. And they brought this big bowl. And I thought, she's going to only eat half of it. There was nothing left inside that bowl. Nothing left. She only ate half her cheeseburger, half her fries, but she ate all that cookies and cream ice cream. And you know what? She did it because she liked it. And you know what? When Philip heard about Jesus, he said, Nathanael, you got to come and see him. We found him, the one that Moses wrote about. We found the Messiah. Oh, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of a city like that? And Philip said, you got to come. I gave that tract to a lady yesterday. She and her husband had that little baby. And he said, oh, okay, well, we appreciate that. And I said, listen, we've even got a nursery there for little babies. He said, really? I said, yeah, you ought to come and visit with us. And I'm hoping and praying they're going to come. But listen, Philip said, listen, Nathaniel, you've got to come. You got to hear him. You got to come and see. Nathaniel's doubting. He's worried, oh, this can't be the one. Philip says, you got to come and see. And again, note here that Philip counted Jesus worthy of following. Now, let me ask you today, is one of the reasons that you don't tell anybody about Jesus because you don't think Jesus is worth following? Boy, I hope that's not the case. Think back of what Christ did for you and what the Word of God did for you in your life. And when you get to thinking about what Christ has done for you, man, I'm going to tell you, it starts bubbling up in my soul. It's like one of my wife's Dr. Peppers. Man, you shake that thing up and it starts to fizzing. And man, pretty soon it's just going to explode over everything. You got to tell somebody. That's what Philip did. And again, note here that whenever we see somebody here coming to Jesus, the first thing they want to do is to go and find somebody else that they can tell about Jesus. Amen? That's the job of the born-again believer. Every born-again believer. It's not just the preacher's job. That's my job. That's your job. And all we do through the Soul Winners Club training program is to help build that confidence in your heart and in your life to be able to take the Word of God and share with somebody what Christ has done for you and what Christ wants to do for them. And buddy, when Philip heard Jesus speak, he said, man, I got to go tell Nathaniel. When Andrew heard, he said, man, I got to go tell my brother Simon. Man, when these folks heard it, they said, he's worthy of following. And he's worthy of my telling somebody about him. Now look at this, verses 47 through 51. I'm going to try to hurry. In verse 47, Jesus knew that Nathanael was a good man, okay, in the eyes of people. But he also knew that Nathanael had a desire to do that which was right. And look what the Bible said. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. No guile. There wasn't any bad feelings towards somebody. There wasn't any deception. He was a good man. And in verse 48, Jesus shows Nathanael that he knew where Nathanael was and what he had been doing. Now, you may not think that's very important, but it is. And it's something that we need to remember. Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're doing. He knows that about each of us. And we see it here with Nathanael's life. Jesus said before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus saw me on that Sunday school bus. Man, he saw my heart's desire was to know the Savior. And I'd ride that Sunday school bus to church, and I would come in and hear my Sunday school teacher teach it and tell me the truth of that. He knew where I was, and he knew where he wanted me to be, and he gave me the gospel. And man, he loved me. And look at this. Note what Nathanael's response was in verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael responded. He acknowledged him with respect. He addressed him as Rabbi, meaning master, teacher, great one. And then he acknowledged him as the Son of God. And then notice this. He acknowledged him as the King of Israel. Boy, that would have been a dangerous thing to say in those days. You know what? Because those kings, if they found out somebody was coming to take their place, they killed them off. He acknowledged that Jesus was indeed the King of Israel. And look at verse 50 and 51. Jesus then responded to Nathanael's faith to follow him by sharing some things to come in Nathanael's life. Now look at this, verse 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou believest? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Man, can you imagine the future that lay in front of these disciples, these followers of Christ? I long for the day that we can see the Lord Jesus stepping out on the clouds of glory and reaching out and just saying, Hey, children, it's time to come home. And he takes us all home to be with him. Man, what a day that's going to be. And you know what? All of these things depend upon how we respond to the calling of Christ in our life. Listen, if you do not yet know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you, respond positively to him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you are saved, go and tell somebody about it. Think about what Christ has done for you and be willing to go and share that message with somebody that you know, somebody that you love, somebody that you care for. I want you to understand today that Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel, they all responded to Jesus by following him. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 4:19? He said, Follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men. And you know what? If we follow him, we will be fishers, won't we? Amen. We'll be telling everybody we can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, response requires recognition. Let's recognize him as the Savior, the Lord of our lives. Let's give him the best that we can do, and let's follow him in a positive way today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, so much for the day, Lord, that you gave me the Word of God and I chose to follow you. And Lord, thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we hear each and every week about folks that have come to know you as their own personal Savior. And I pray, God, today that you'll use us to be fishers of men everywhere that we go. We love you. We pray, God, now for our pastor as he stands to preach. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll use him in a great way today to speak to hearts. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.